Well, welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Josh and Anna Gresham.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
It's a great day.
It's such a great day in the Lord.
Are you counting it all joy right now?
No.
Okay, good. Oh,
well, I mean, yes. I'm always counting it all joy. Right. I'm doing fantastic.
All right. I'm very excited for this podcast.
I know you are. She has been preparing for this for weeks.
I am. I have been. Because I feel that this is a conversation that you and I have often, not only with one another, with other couples. This is a personal conversation that we have with the Lord. This is a conversation that we have with our four children.
Yeah.
I mean, from the very beginning, the first thing that you've always said, you feel like the first real sin that people commit is to
lie.
Like, think of your kid, you know, or you being a kid, like the first thing you did was like, oh, did you clean your room? Yeah. No, you didn't. You know, like total lie.
Yeah.
Did you eat that cake? No.
No.
Yes, you did. 100% you did. So it's learning what it looks like to really live in a position of trusting God, learning to build trust with your spouse. Trust is broken often in relationships.
For sure.
Learning to build trust. I feel like this isn't just a marriage podcast. Building trust with your kids or other family members.
Yeah, I think this is an everyday walk. Like every day, this is a personal commitment and growth.
Like growing your godly character.
Yeah. This is not something that's bound to a particular group of people. It helps, obviously, in every group and every you know, environment you find yourself in. But no, I think it's for everyone.
When you were a kid, did you ever get caught in a whopper of a lie?
I'm sure I have or had. I'm sure of it. I just can't remember offhand like a particular story. You obviously.
No, I have so many.
You have so many.
I have so many. I was the worst little kid. Okay, so our next door neighbor growing up, they were ancient. They were old.
Yeah.
Okay. I decided that it would be funny all by myself. I was bored to ring and run, where you ring someone's doorbell and then you take off running.
Right.
Okay. In front of their house was this stone wall. Like across the street.
Yeah.
Like an old stone wall. Think of that. So I thought I can ring the doorbell, hide behind the stone wall. They'll come out and I'll get to hear them ask for, you know, look around. This was not nice. I don't even know. So I ring their doorbell, run across the street, jump behind the stone wall. I wait forever, forgetting that they're ancient and it was going to take them forever to get to that door. So I pop up because I'm like, they're not coming. You know, they're asleep, whatever this looks like. Right when I pop up, he opens the door. He opens the door. And he said, did you see anyone ring my doorbell? And I was like, no, not at all. Well, 100% it was me. And I just lied about it.
I'm sure he knew.
I know he did.
Had to be. Is this the same neighbors that you stole their flowers? You cut their flowers?
No, that was a different neighbor.
You were just like Dennis the Menace.
I cut all of their tulips and gave them to my mom. And then we had to return them. And she was mortified. That was a horrible day for her. But you know what's interesting about a lie is, what does Reinhard Bonnke say? You love that quote.
Yeah,
I just put you on the spot. Hold on. Think about it. It's really
good.
You
can't bury the truth because obviously Jesus, but he said, if you bury a lie, it will rot. If you bury the truth, it will rot.
It will rise.
And so that's what Jesus, he's the truth. And so he rose.
And you think about lies, you're going to get caught. You're going to get found out. Yet people still do it.
Yeah. Hey, I think we have to have a hard stop just for 5 seconds. Some of you guys are watching this. Some of you are listening. You don't even need to care about the next 2 seconds. But for you who are watching, you see my wife's shirt and the only word you can read is criticize.
Oh.
That is the only word you're able to see. It says criticize by creating.
Can you see it?
I didn't want this to be...
Am I going
to
be a turtle? Pop my head in.
You know, it's perfect. Okay. I didn't want this to be a malfunction, a wardrobe malfunction with our podcast here. Criticize by create is by creating is a quote from Michelangelo that those who do and those who criticize don't, basically. So it's do something. And if you
get creative rather than being critical.
Yeah. If you're not creating, then you're basically just criticizing.
Yeah.
So criticize by creating. Go out there and do your job. So anyway, I just want to say that. So people aren't like,
wow,
why does she have this sweatshirt that says criticize? right.
All right.
We're talking about trust.
And building trust in relationships. This is actually a very serious conversation. I know we've started off lighthearted.
Yeah.
But in most relationships, this is not a lighthearted conversation.
Correct.
Because whenever trust is broken, there's heartache, there's hardship. You feel like you're in a pit of despair. You feel rejected. You wonder, you know, why have I been lied to this whole time? Do they not love me? Do they not care? Are they just living in a den of iniquity and sin? I mean, it takes you to this extreme thought process, rightly so, because you want to be able to trust the people you're with. I mean, I feel like trust is one of the highest compliments we can give our relationship and one of the highest points of commitment to our relationship, any relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like to be with someone that I can trust my emotions with.
Right.
That I can trust my time. That I know you got my back and that it's valid.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. I'd like to start with this particular group of scriptures. As many of you guys may know this, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, being between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable." This is really important to start off with this particular podcast, because that is where it all begins.
Yeah.
If you're unable to recognize the sin that lives in you, the untrustworthiness, is that a word, untrustworthiness? Is that right?
I'm figuring it out right now.
Sounds good.
We're going to flow with it.
Good. Anyway, but if you are unable to actually see that, then right. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So it's taking account of your faults and your things, being consistent with your time with God, because God's word, meaning his word, not just the Bible, but the words that he speaks to you, he's shining his light for you to be able to see the problems, the differences between the two of you, how to bring those things together, but then those issues that you may have yourself that you need to work on, he's bringing light to that and showing you through the power of the Holy Spirit how to change these things. So if you're not able to do that first, because that's your first step, then that's the most important step you can take.
A heart examination.
Correct.
Of, Lord, see if there's any way in me that does not honor you.
Right.
That is not helping my spouse, my children, my family to have that sense of trust. And Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. This is a conversation that when you have that with the Lord and then actually take time to listen, dive into his word on what his word says. I love that his word goes right to the heart of the matter, you know,
mm-hmm.
to that the deepest crevice inside of your soul. God's word wants to not condemn, but convict in order for us to grow. And we should want to grow. I mean, this is an area that we should want to grow in.
Yeah.
That people, you are building this within your relationships on a regular basis. I think for me too, I'm glad you brought up that part. My first part that I am like an over self-examiner. Okay. That's something that I've actually had to be aware of, because I will examine my relationship with the Lord until, I don't know, like it's intense.
Well, and that's because you know the light.
Yes.
You understand the light. Sinners mock and laugh at their sin. They don't want to change it.
So for me, what I've been meditating on lately is trusting in God. Maybe you're having a hard time, maybe on your end, of trusting in your spouse because of something that's happened, or you've just been in conflict, trusting in a family member or a friend, is because you need to get back in and read scripture and build your faith up on God, I trust in you. What hit me was this, Josh. All right, God, if I trust in you, knowing how faithful and how good you are, that you love me and have a good plan for my life, then I also can trust in Josh. I also can trust in what you're doing in my kids. Mm-hmm. I also can trust, you know, we're pastors here at Trailhead Church. God, I trust you that I can trust in what you're doing here at Trailhead. Do you see what I mean?
Sure.
So I recognized, oh my gosh, I'm trying to put all of this weight on everybody else or even myself when ultimately I need to make sure I'm trusting God first. This whole building trust has so many different building blocks. But foundationally, of course, it's an examination of a repentance.
Yeah.
And then a building of trust with God.
Yeah.
And then you're able to start to receive in a greater measure what God has for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So, as you had already alluded to, this are the five ways to build that trust. And the first one is live honest.
You guys, these are not overcomplicated. Don't be a dirty, filthy liar.
Wow.
Okay, too intense.
That was. Well,
no, I was smiling when I said it. No, okay. No, let's just be real. There are a lot of people that are not having, myself included, I'm not going to lump you all into this. This is another area I've been growing in. This is why it's valuable to me. You need to have an honest conversation with God about your life. You need to have honest conversations with others. I think people just get used to lying, or they'll call it a little white lie or a little white fib or whatever it is.
So let me ask the question, because I feel like there's two different things you're talking about, though, with lying. There is a lying that is like a blatant lie, that it's not the truth, 100%. But then you're also kind of grouping in the thought of rawness, of you don't, it's like the full truth. It's not that you're telling a lie, you're just not expressing the full truth behind certain things. So you're just choosing not to talk about it, or you're not choosing to reveal those really inward, deeper thoughts with your spouse or whomever. Is that what you're like?
I think that we often will live in a make-believe world, like everything's okay, and mm-hmm. then before you know it, you hit that avalanche, mm-hmm. and you can, everything will get compounded into one huge rolling snowball because you didn't deal with the little things first.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you got to get in and tell everybody your deepest, darkest secrets. No, that's a conversation with the Lord. But often people aren't even having that conversation with God.
No, right, yeah.
So then when we talk to our spouse, you're like, yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine. And you're not. You're bitter. You're hurt.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like there are two things here, and I've got some scripture here. Proverbs 12:22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful." Proverbs 10:9, "The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out." So that word integrity, when you study it out in the Hebrew, it means uprightly or integrity in your mind, a completeness. That whenever you have integrity in your mind, like in your thought life where you're thinking, all right, God, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to get in, just live honest. Then there is a completeness. Why? Because you're trusting God, even with your failures, you're trusting that God loves you.
Yeah.
Even when you miss it, you're trusting God loves you. The word crooked means perverted or twisted. And you pervert the truth or you twist things. And then before you know it, you're on this shaky ground. Your foundation has cracks in it. And guys, at some point we got to start just getting real honest about needing help. I think there are people that need help right now in their relationships, and either pride's in the way or insecurity, and you need to, that goes really into the next one.
Well, but right. I think what I want to talk about, I want to stay on this just for one more second. And that is, I know the other points that are about to come. So it kind of, that particular thought of being raw, being vulnerable, being honest and open to just discuss more of what the heart, like the heart things, the things that you're just not really, you don't want to expose those things because there's no trust, or you
right.
just feel you don't want to be vulnerable with it because you just don't know if you can. But taking that leap of faith or that step of faith to do it and being vulnerable with the raw thoughts and some of the things that are going on in your life and the real root of what's happening when it's happening. So it's that thought of stepping out and creating an environment with your loved one, with your spouse, to say, hey, I want to talk more open and vulnerable to you. I've got to become real. And maybe lay out that foundation of, hey, I need you to just kind of hang tight. Let me talk. So that's what, as we keep going through here. So Well, I'm going to touch back on that because these other points go with this.
Okay. I'm going to give an example because this goes with it as well, what we're getting ready to go to. So we had a huge building project at Trailhead Church. We've got an 82,000 square foot warehouse. It all happened during COVID. We've restored about, 55,000 square feet. You were put in as the, you had to head up a lot of things during that time. And naturally, it was really challenging on our family. We were so thankful for it, but it was hard. And I was dealing with, really, just to be frank, some anger at the whole season of how hard it was. And I'm thankful for my best friends that I made a decision to say, hey, I'm dealing with this and it's hard and I need your prayer. Like, I'm angry and I don't want to be because I'm so thankful for what God's doing. It's wild how you can even deal with hard things in a great season, but it's still hard. Mm-hmm. Having someone that I could be honest to, that I know was going to pray for me, even though it wasn't easy to say that, because, you know, as a pastor, you're like, oh yeah, you should be just so thankful. Look at what God's doing. Yeah, but it was hard for us. Mm-hmm. And I needed someone to open up to. And I'm super thankful for that. There's a vulnerability there. And those women are a safe place for me. So I agree with you. There's got to be a safe place. But it's still, you've got to be willing to be vulnerable and receive that help and prayer, yeah. You know?
So the second point to this is stay accountable. So that's, it's obviously start, and we say this often, start with God as the accountability of what His word is telling you, what He's sharing with you, what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you in those revelations, so that the light of His light is showing and shining, and it's not man-made, and it's not this self-production of you're just doing something. No, it's like, it is powerful. So staying accountable helps you with this process of coming to the Father and saying, all right, hold me accountable. Like, I want to know these things. Discipline me.
Yeah.
Show me these things that I need to fix and go forth.
Romans 14:12 says, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. I want, at the end of all of this, even through it all, for the Lord to say, Anna, you were faithful, because even when you miss it, you came to me, you know? And then 1 Thessalonians 5:12, because we have that accountability with God, but you also have that accountability with one another.
Yeah.
Because you're not living life alone. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you were doing. That accountability is not to make someone feel like trash. If you're going to have an honest building, a building of trust, it's not to come in and make them feel bad for what's been broken. It's not to bring in, you know, that harsh word or judgment. And I know in marriage, yeah, you can say, hey, this hurt me, whatever you've been walking through, 100%. But at some point, the accountability is to get in to see that trust rebuilt, mm-hmm. right? So whenever you're dealing with pornography or sexual addictions, things where trust has been broken, there's accountability when it comes to having things on your phone. I mean, our accountability in our marriage is we have the same passcodes. We can pick each other's phone up at any moment. There's no hidden agenda here. You could scroll, he could look through every email, every text, and same, like, there's nothing hidden within our marriage. We have an open accountability with all of it. And thank God we have some of the same passcodes. I wouldn't remember them if we didn't. I mean, that's another bonus.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow. Wow.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's not it.
You thought it was.
I don't know. I already forgot.
You actually thought I gave our passcode out.
Oh my gosh.
Because I said 1, 2, 3, 4.
I don't know.
That's how bad it is. You really are. That is bad.
It really is.
Oh my gosh.
But there's so many different levels of accountability that it's worth having.
Yes, it's setting up these things. These are safeguards in your life and you need them. So
marriage accountability partners.
Sure. Everything.
Everything. People that'll ask you hard questions about your life. For all of the ministers or people that are in leadership at church that are listening right now, if you don't have someone that will ask you challenging questions about your life, you need to find that person. Because you need accountability. You're often giving it to so many other people. You need to have that yourself to help you grow and to really, you said it, have that safeguard, having people that are surrounding you, encouraging you, lifting you up.
Yeah. But you're the one who sets the accountability. You're not putting the responsibility off on someone else. You're the one who's checking up on your own self.
You're not waiting for them to check on you.
No.
You say, hey, I need to call you and talk about these things. Hey, like you set it up.
Yes. It's ridiculous when we put all of these things out there as if it's their responsibility to get in contact with you. No. You do it.
You guys, so. Satan hates your guts. So he will use any open door he can for sin, kind of sin, to destroy relationships. This is just being wise.
Yeah. Okay. All right, third point, listen. You got to be slow to speak and quick to listen. So that's going back to where I want to talk about being raw. When you set the environment up to say, hey, I want to share my deep thoughts. I want to be vulnerable in front of you. I don't want to hold these things. It's not that as if it's a lie, but it's just not the full truth of what your heart's desires are or what's been being thought of or what you're dealing with or whatever. So it's asking and setting up the environment where it's like, hey, I need you to listen. And in turn, you got to make sure you're ready to listen as well. Like I'm a good listener. I'm slow to speak and I just want to listen. And sometimes it could be an environment where it doesn't need to have a, you don't have to have this a word that needs to be spoken. It literally is just a, let me hold you. Let me hug you. Let me whatever. We try to give advice when we don't even need advice. We don't need to do that. Sometimes it's like a self healing, soothing thing that we think other people need. No. Just say, I got you.
I'm working on that because I'm a talker. You know this. I get excited about the conversation.
Sure.
And I feel like you're like, Anna, you interrupted them like 10 times. I do not want to interrupt you. I get so excited about what we're talking about that I just feel like I'm a part of everything you're saying. So I've had to really commit this to God and ask for his help to not do that, you know? And now people that also interrupt, we work really well together. We just interrupt each other the whole time. And then it's like the best conversation ever for me. But putting that aside.
Can I say something? We do this podcast. I'm so thankful people listen. I'm so thankful that you're listening right now, those who are listening. But ultimately, in my heart of hearts, I am doing this podcast for our future grandchildren and our great-grandchildren and the great-grandchildren to come. And I do that in the hopes and thoughts that someday they may stumble upon this and listen to their great-grandparents. And they go, oh my gosh. So for those little Gertrude.
What is happening? All those, listen, they're coming back. The old names.
My great-grandchild, Gertrude.
Gertrude Gresham?
I don't know. I'm just.
Stop.
I want you to know that if you are a talker, you get it honestly. It's honest. So
it's a gift.
It's an inheritance.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
A treasure.
Okay, back to this. So listening is really important. It's the best thing. So James 1:19-20, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. A lot of times you need to filter what you're hearing through the character of the person you're hearing it from. I feel like there are a lot of times that you'll take a word right out, and you'll go, oh, and then you kind of get, haughty about it.
You're using us as an example right now. Just tell them.
I'm not.
This is us.
No, but it's filter it through the character of the person. That way it gives it relevance to what's going on. So that way it's not just taken like, oh my God, why would you say this? Or why would you say that? And it's like, no, time out. Let me listen to what they're saying and have an understanding of who it's coming from. So that way you don't misinterpret what the person's saying.
Essentially, you're believing the best in the person.
Correct.
Also, I do think people I have godly character, but there's moments that I've said stupid things. You got to take ownership for it. Sometimes people with good character,
all the time.
I know, but the problem with some of that is then you just pass over what that person said when it wasn't nice. And you say, hey, that wasn't nice. That's not a slam against their character. I think it's still just addressing.
Oh, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people. And oftentimes as a pastor, it's not in a great timeline because it's like a passing in a hallway or whatever. And they they want to stop and have a serious conversation, I'm not ready for it. My head, I've tried to tell my church congregation that Sundays, we don't talk about business on Sundays. Business meaning just life, because I can't comprehend it well enough to know what it needs to have. So oftentimes they'll stop me, they'll say a few things, and then I'm like, I might not give it enough weight or value because of the environment. But I'm learning that, okay, time out, just stop what you're doing. The moment that you're in right now is the moment of heaviness and weight. Give it what it needs. So for you, don't be so quick to just keep going with friends or family or whoever stops you to sit, share something with you. Stop and give it a weight and value so that you can actually appropriate it accordingly, okay?
All right. Live honest, stay accountable, listen. Number four, have an open heart.
Right.
Have an open heart. I love Psalm 51:10. I pray this often. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Having an open heart is having a softened heart before the Lord, that when you are listening, when you are hearing, you're receiving, and you're able to actually move from a place of compassion and love rather than a place of hurt or a calloused heart of unforgiveness. I mean, whatever it is you're dealing with. I mean, I don't want any callous places in my life. And I think in building trust, these are areas you're going to have to allow the Lord to heal.
Yeah. Right? This is the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. I mean, it's all about love. It's all about patience. It's talking about endurance here. And it's a long game. We're not playing a short game. We're playing a long game with this. So having that open heart is God's the heart surgeon. You're opened, and God is constantly coming in and going, let's take that. Let's repair this. Let's fix this. Let's put in this. Those are these moments to realize, okay, I have, I'm in a constant open heart surgery with my Lord, and I'm having a gentleness about myself, a peace about myself that transcends those understandings, transcends all of that that's going on around me, to say, okay, I'm going to listen to what this person has to say, and not so fast to have an answer, not so fast to think that I just know what's best. Because having that open heart, and there's twofold about it, obviously internally yourself and then externally with someone else. But out externally with someone else, it's like to say, hey, I'm going to have an open heart. Maybe you have a different perspective than I have, and maybe my way isn't right. And to just pause and to go, okay, let me hear what they're saying.
The Bible doesn't say follow your heart. The Bible says guard your heart.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bible also talks about having a softened heart before the Lord, right? A heart of flesh. These are things where you realize, okay, you're not trying to follow your heart, trying to follow Jesus, but have an open heart to say, God, you do what you want to do. I really like the word meditation. What are you meditating on in your heart right now over these relationships? Is it past hurts? Is it past failures? Is it your own past failure, your own past hurt? Is it something that's already been resolved, but it keeps coming up and there are intrusive thoughts that you need to rebuke in Jesus' name? Like, we all need to get in and read scripture about building trust in God. There's so many scriptures about building trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, Psalm 37, 4 through 6. The list can go on. We've got lots and lots of scripture.
Yeah.
What is your heart meditating on? I found if I'm meditating on, well, I'm mad about this, and I'm mad, and you did that, and they did this, or blah, 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 then I'm not building trust, right? It is being torn down little by little. And then when it comes to working with that person, the entire time there's a little voice going, they're going to fail, or they're going to get you, or they're going to bite you, right? Or you're still mad at them. And that's not healthy.
No, you can't carry those things.
No.
So then that goes to the fifth point, which is be quick to forgive.
Ooh.
You need to, it's that, knowing if you can self-examine to say, all right, I was harsh, my tone was mean, or whatever in my response to what took place, you have the accountability back up there to point number two. You have the accountability to take care of your own health. And that's where it's, you've got to be quick to forgive. You cannot carry these things that causes depression, anxiety, offense, bitterness, all those things, fits of rage. So being quick to forgive sets you in a trajectory for success. So I would encourage you that the minute that you see your behavior, I call them emotional allergies. If your behavior is set off, you're fuming, you're whatever, that's an indicator, okay, something took place. Maybe it's their fault, but start with yourself first and then say, God, if it's me, fix me. Show me my ways, Lord, that if they're wicked, I want to correct them. I apologize. I repent. Lord, if it's them, then Lord, I apologize. I ask them, Lord, to fix their heart and do those things and go in there and speak to them. And that's how I process my prayer in offense. But in the meantime, even though it's easier said than done, I will go to that individual and say, I just want you to know, I'm sorry if I've hurt you, or yeah. I have. And that's the steps to say, all right, I want to actually walk in forgiveness.
Ephesians 4:32, this is a Gresham family scripture. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. A picture, I like visual imagery. It's how I learn. The Lord gave me this beautiful picture of Jesus on the cross when he was saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And there are so many times when I'm worked up or I've been in a situation where I know that I need to forgive and for trust to begin to be built back because I'm in a relationship or a friendship with this person. The Lord will show me that picture and it really helps me.
Yeah.
Because I want to be quick to forgive. Otherwise, it turns ugly on the inside.
Yeah.
And forgiveness heals you from the inside out. And I think you've got to really take inventory of your life to make sure that you do not have areas of unforgiveness. It will hinder your prayer life if you do. Unforgiveness will hinder your prayer life. It will hinder your joy.
Yeah.
It will hinder your sex life if you're married.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be a hindrance to so many different things. And it's supernatural. Forgiveness, Jesus forgiving us is supernatural. And that same supernatural forgiveness power is at work on the inside of us.
Yeah.
So it's something to think about that you're not doing this on your own. Building trust, you can't do it on your own. It's all in the Lord.
Yeah. Now this is doing it on your own. Obviously it's the Lord because it's internally and externally, but there is a bonus I want to throw in here. And this is a practical exercise that we just heard about it a few weeks ago. We were in Boston at a conference and we liked what was said. And so I'd like to obviously transfer this over to you, but a practice of knowing your spouse is knowing what feeds them or what drains them. And I know for me personally, there's all kinds of things that feed me that I just feel nice. And I'm like, oh, I'm overwhelmed of good joy and peace. And I'm like, oh, I love these things. And that's the stuff that I get like rejuvenated and
fuels
excited.
Fuels your love tank.
Yeah. And then there's the things that drain me. And there are far and few things that kind of drain me, I honestly to say. But those things, it's there. It's now writing those things down, write a list of what feeds me, what drains me. And then both you and your spouse, you do this practice and then you switch. And then you take on the responsibility to say, I want to try to eliminate the things that drain her or him. And I want to be in the process of feeding them the things that they love that rejuvenates them, re-energizes what their passions and their desires are. So those things are really, it's a great practice to put in because you now get to build trust in that way because the spouse will see, oh my gosh. So, yeah.
What do you want me to feed you with?
I'm not about to say that here.
Why? All right. I know one thing that drains you.
What? What drains me?
When I am repetitive about problems, it is like a soul sucker for you. It's true. It's true.
I'm a solution finder. I want solutions.
I will suck your soul out whenever I repeat things. You can't handle it.
I have no comment at this moment.
It's okay. It's okay. This is it.
But what fills my cup and is getting outside and doing fun activities with friends. That's something I love. I love being intentional with other people. I love seeing the joy on other people's face. That feeds me, and I'm excited about those things. Not that I'm a part of the process. It's not that I am the reason why they're overfilled with joy. It's just I like being around people who are having fun.
Wait, do you know one of mine?
I would say reading a book with a nice hot cup of coffee with the house completely cleaned and everything in order, that you don't have a to-do list that day. That's something that feeds you.
That is true rest time for me.
Yeah.
That is actual mental rest time, which is nice. Yeah. But in the same breath, I love people and I enjoy...
I think you enjoy the same process of me, maybe on another flip of what it looks like, but like entertaining a group of people like in your house, and it's fun to have people over and to eat and to just laugh. Those are things that feed you.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. Yeah. What drains me?
What drains you is a house filled with clutter.
We got all these kids and stuff everywhere.
Right.
And it's challenging for me at times.
Unexpected mishaps. And that happens a lot. Those things drain you.
Oh, you know something that drains me? Unresolved conflict.
Sure.
That I have to really... I like things to... I want it to be done today. I like it to be over. I want us to move on. That's something that I have to really commit to God and trust God with, you know?
All right. Well, that sums up this wonderful podcast on trust. Hopefully something just stuck out. And if it did, share it with somebody. Type it up, send them a text, and just say, hey, heard this today. Love to share this with you. Know that you've been whatever, needing that maybe this key moment. Well, this is it. So
lots of great scripture today, too.
Share it, like it, all those good things. Guys, you are amazing. Thank you for listening.
Hey, you're never going to miss it, building trust in relationships. So putting these things into practice, it's a good thing. We love you guys. We're excited. We're cheering you on.
Yeah, we are. We are your biggest fan.
Go to the website, journeytogether.com.
Yep. All right, that's it.
Yeah.
Guys, have a wonderful day.
See ya.
Bye.